Was charged with Nicole Whitmer.
Thanks, sir. Someone said to me tonight that music is the poetry that everyone understands. I'm starting to like this phrase. This one's called The Divine Moments of Silence, Part 2, Fractal Geometry.
Not knowing your reaction one way amiss, nor thinking on your acknowledgments lit kindly. What time you stood aloof scathingly, on any attention I lavished on you, we burnt to a cinder, missing you person, unscathed by wanting you above all else. An unrepentant dynasty calls the pretender, deep excavation calls you to remit, a true love skulking on borders, a companionship sealed by travel. Nothing I can say or do can change you. A razor blade, barbed wire, soothes the agony. I'm cold as missile, never fear of what threatens your peace and bloody secret. The frames of blood donated kindly, and noble information gathered for free. A wire on paper is all that you are, true freedom for derision and archive bombs. A history of oneself is a revenge for voices. Struggling for independence from a bane. A dead city is rising for your wrong self. and Asian secrecy avoiding the desire. Thank you. Hey.
Thank you, Patricia. The next, Alan Corky.
This is about music. Music flows from an empty cask. This is the miracle and all that is asked. Does music create a soul, or simply swirl about its empty casks? Vapor born of an afferent brew, towards a perfectly ordinary explosion of the heart. There is nothing more common than life, or popular as love. Even poets are becoming plentiful. But a good tune, now that is something to die for. An anthemic cull is relatively easy to organise. And the devil has the worst tunes.
Good man.
Thank you, Alan. The next, Mary Connor.
Thanks, Sue. What a vintage night we've had tonight. Two absolutely brilliant poets. This was inspired by a student of mine who is very, very colourful and artistic. It's called Visitation. Birdman appeared, kingfisher blue and red, slipping into a space between daylight and dusk. Don't close the door in my face. I opened it wide. I felt the breath of his wings and led him aloft. He gave me a coin, three stupas, shading Ganesha, elephant god from the east. Perched on a chair, he told me his dreams, filled the room with his song, lurched, swooped, and spun. He spoke of the journeys he'd planned. My crumbling logic fell at his feet. I watched as he turned, stirring the air, while he opened a way for his flight. Thank you.
Whoa! Thank
you, Mary. And next we have Elizabeth.
Ganesha.
Yes.
Oh,
This is taken from my book. It's like one of the chapters is like, like there's a rabbit who's just discovering, who's exploring the underworld, and he comes across these three characters, and they're having a poem competition, and he ends up being a referee. And I just read it out. It takes a long time to explain, but this is one of the poems that comes out. My name is Birch, the crow duck, and my feet are joined and webbed. My ink-black feathers are dripping with oil, and live in a nest of wrappers. I smoke a secret cigarette, I hide it from my eggs. I used to breathe pure oxygen, but now it's black, all black smoke. As I blow out, cream fresh air comes out. I used a fag for a stick for my nest. I swoop down and swim in the black oil lake. I gulp down the goo, some drips from my beak. It floods my canal and blocks my ability to breed, but I don't have to. My eggs live in the highest branch of a dead leafless tree. It was killed and scarred by a toxic fire, and I'm addicted to its fumes. Lastly, I search among the carcasses on the ground, the black burnt creatures that died on this burnt earth. I stabbed my beak through their thin skin, and black blood oozed out. My name is Birchie, the crow duck, and my feet are joined and webbed. I can't live in this Mother Nature earth. I can only live in one that's dead. Thanks.
Thank you, Philip. And next we have Charles Clark.
Hello.
I've been accused of only reading other people's poetry. That isn't true. But on this occasion, I caught this little bit of prose out of a periodical that some of you might have never heard of, on the tablet. Volume 207, number 9140. Jonathan Tulloch writes a regular column, very short, nature column at the back end of this thing. And he calls this Glimpses of Eden, and I rather like this. It's prose. They are knocking down more terraces in Middlesbrough. As we walked through the condemned area, the silence was eerie. All those years of humanity with its laughter, tears, anger, commotion and joy had been choked off behind tall metal railings. A loud rumbling began. A train on track, a crane on tracks, grumbled into view. A wrecking ball dangled from the crane's elevated arm. The ball swung against a house. Even from where we stood, I not only saw the house totter, but also the sparrows fleeing the battered roof. They flew over us and shot into a row of bushes. The line of bushes, 20 yards long and gracing an area of more modern housing, was loud with cheeping. At least 24 sparrows perched on its hidden branches. They seemed even louder than the demolition crane and the usual crash of urban traffic. All at once, we might have been walking through the North Yorkshire countryside. I've always been deeply moved by nature in its unpromising places, by the willingness of birds and bees to forgive. It is likely that sparrows have nested in the condemned terraces since they were built. And here they are in the bushes, still alive, still noisy. Here's hoping that the new houses have rooms in their roof for sparrow lodgers.
Thank you, Charles. And next we have Bernadette McCarthy.
And snow lately, so this is a craft I'm working on. The storm changed everything. Nature hiccuped, and not a ditch or road was left in sight. Only a Mediterranean sea, blinding as hope. You're shoving your spade down into a stone-lined drain, rooting out an old green bottle, redirecting rivers to their rightful course. And as I look upon your mountain man face, your hands hard as tongue cream, your done-up boots in the swirling stream, my last dam gives way as I know nothing is meant to be.
Thank you, and I think Anne-Marie would like to give us a short poem.
Yeah. So I live near Thurbanlily, Yeats is a summer house. That was very funny, even poets are getting plenty.
Get it now, it's fixed that again, is it?
It's flooded again.
It's flooded again.
And they made a tape, they made a recording of the day, and I just looked awful on this recording. Terrible, so I was delighted that it was flooded, the tape is gone. But anyway, for young poets, you know, he did get the Nobel Prize for poetry, for rhyming poetry, and apparently in this poem, The Song of the Wandering Angus, the judges, or the chairperson of the judging committee, or whatever they call them in Stockholm, picked out the line, and caught a little silver trout. And they love that line. I always think it's a bit phallic, I don't know why. The Song of the Wandering Angus by W.B. Yeats. I went out to the hazel wood because a fire was in my head, and cut and peeled a hazel wand and tied a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. and when I had laid it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame. But something rustled on the floor, and someone called me by my name. It had become a glimmering girl with apple blossom in her hair that called me by my name and ran and faded in the brightening air. Though I am old with wandering o'er hilly lands and hollow lands, I will find where she has gone and kiss her lips and hold her hands, and walk among long dappled grass and pluck, till time and times are done, the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun. Thanks, WB.
Well, we've been giving to us here tonight.
Yes.
Next we have Bernadette Gallagher.
Listening. As I drive to hear and see a small number of poets read their own words at Cork Arts Theatre, I listen to Pompeii by Mary Beard as the narrator digs into the lives of those not so unlike ourselves. The gladiator enters the amphitheatre. The crowd roars. From the silence of our seats, we let the sounds of each word infuse.
Thank you, Bernadette. And next we have Ben, I think, Burns?
Yeah.
You.
Yeah,
Ben Burns.
Song that I wrote earlier today.
Anyway, Okay, well, following that, we have Kieran McCartan. Anything for this event?
Would you have had the page if you used the song that was
playing? I don't know.
Fair enough.
Okay,
praying for a bit of irony there. Yeah, happy election week and all that. this is where I say the name of the poem, but it doesn't have it. Know that I have sat on bridges and thought about my life, of all the pretty women I could have made my wife, of all the smiling children that could have been my own. And I know that for these things a man must have a home. In the shadow of empty buildings I feel a little robbed, who lock the doors behind the steps when my sleeping temples throb. As I writhe in the cold and rain beneath the shelter of the sky, who shakes the keys to tell to me vacate where it is dry. I am thankful to any that don't speak to me like that, those who have suffered my many failings and have always had my back. I'm lonely for the breathing bodies that brought warmth to where I lie, and I miss their gentle follies that tell me I should try. I live to honor the loving loyalty of my since-starved dog, Patch, and I long for the acceptance of a door on the latch, a safe space where my talents allow opportunities to hatch. No step from where I observe eternal, a platform from where to act. Either I'll be the first to face the morning and shape my blankets like a throne, see the sun burn the rain off my city and feel a freedom to roam, or I will pass on in the night, quiet as a mouse, and be carried by the wings of love back to my mother's house. And I will hold no malice for those who pass my body cold, who woke in morning's palace where their smiling children grow. I know that we are most alike. I hope their lives are nice. We didn't think once, and now we can't think twice.
Good rhymer. Woo!
Thank you, Kieran. You should dedicate that poem to the Tweedledee and Tweedledum of Irish politics.
Hey.
We know who they are.
Alan Kelly got re-elected.
Thank you. Anyway, and next we have second last poetry tonight, Gabriella.
Come during the afternoon and come and sleep near my river. Put near the fountain your heart, your pale heart made of glass. An empty cup without roses that could give it color. You came, my love, you were, your mouth was thirst, but you couldn't drink because you were sleeping. You were sleeping near the stones and the floor. You were sleeping near your name made by stone that I gave you. You were sleeping with your heart in your hands, waiting for the red roses that would turn your sun, your soul into a flower. See the waters that pass by. Do you remember, love? Do you remember from the day I entered your garden? A white flower was growing, and I cut it and I took it with me, like someone takes a cherished gift, because you made mine your own garden, and it was you that I was waiting for near my river. But forgive me, love, forgive me, because when I offered you the roses, they were already dead. Forgive me, because when I took you to the river, the waters were already dry. Forgive me, because when I wanted to kill your thirst, the fountain was already frozen, and your heart was so cold that I couldn't warm it in my hands. But don't cry. You don't have to cry anymore. Don't cry the dry roses that you have near your chest. Don't cry the tears that fall near the river. In the time in which near the river we used to make roses from our dreams in boats made of paper. Don't cry the thirst, because the dead thirst, it's anything else than death. And who knows, without dead thirst, we would never have searched our own fountains. Don't cry rivers, not even roses, not even fountains. Just cry the bad fated heart and the silence and sad heart that suffers because it can't fall from the ice. The north wind whispers near the trees and in the horizon above takes flight. But you know, my love, even today I have your roses near my bed, the dark and death roses that I plucked one day from your heart. I still sing in each sigh the whispering river that passes by, that kills the thirst from the flowers in the long hours. I still build your name near the fountain in the stones that we put on the floor. I still write it like if it was my own name, letter by letter murmured in my chest, letter by letter in each beat, slow beat from my heart. I'm so sad, so how I wish I could put in your chest, how I could plant in your chest my dry soul. And go, love, go in your boat made of paper. I dream for you the sea, the dawn, and the infinite. And goodbye, love. One day I'll find you again, sleeping peaceful in the perfume of the roses.